National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, All History 2. My name is Ruth Kaplan, and the respondent's name is Sylvia Robinson at 124 Woodland Road, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Why don't we start with your background or genealogical information? You know, tell me a little about your family. Tell us a little about your family, how they came to this area, or where they came to, and just go with it.
Well, both my mother and father came from Russia. I don't know exactly the names of the villages. I think I might have them on the tape I did of my mother and on this genealogy I did on my father. But I would have to look it up. They came from small towns in the area around Minsk, both of them. I'm related to everybody in my family on both sides. It gets complicated. My mother's sister, on my mother's side, married my grandfather on my father's side, brother. So I'm related through marriage to everybody in my family on two sides. My mother came to this country when she was a little girl, and she came. Her family settled in the Lower East Side of New York. She's one of eight children, and she is the last one left. There were six girls and two boys, and they all came to this country. Can I tell a little funny story?
Sure.
My mother came over. Years ago, we had a tour, the Youth Federation had a tour of New York, for a fundraising tour in New York, and we visited Ellis Island. And it was before Ellis Island was restored, and it was in pretty bad shape. And I went there and I walked through the Great Hall and through everything, and I became very, very emotional because I pictured my parents as children coming through this this thing. And I came home and I said to my mother, I went to Ellis Island and I became very emotional. I thought of you as a child coming through there. And my mother drew herself up to her full 5'2" and said, we came cabin class. We didn't go to Ellis Island. We went to Castle Garden. Anyhow, they came over. My grandmother came with the children. Three children had already come over. She came with the other five. My grandfather died in his 40s in Russia from throat cancer. So my grandmother came with the three oldest had come earlier, and they all settled in the Lower East Side of New York. My grandmother, they all went to work, except the youngest, who were still in school. And they went to school till eighth grade, and then they went to work.
Do you have a year or a time, or what, you know, something? Can you give us a time idea?
It's in the early 1900s. My mother is 92 years old now, and her birthday is January 1st, 1904, and I think she was about 7 years old when she came over. There were three children younger than she. She might have been 8 or 9 when she came over. My grandmother ran, they lived in the New York, Lower East Side, and my grandmother helped support the family by taking in boarders, men who had come over on their own and wanted kosher meals. And they would come to her house for their kosher meals because she kept a strictly kosher house. And they paid her for the meals. And that's how they kept together. And each child, after they finished eighth grade, went to work at something or other, mostly in the garment industry in New York. My father came over, I think, just before he was going to be ready for the Russian army, because that's when a lot of young men came over. He did not come over with his father, because His father had brought over a cousin of his who was older than my father, and he would have gone to the army before, so he came over with my grandfather. My father came over here. He is one of three children. My father had two sisters, one of whom passed away, and the other, who is now 96 years old and is still living. They came to settle in Pittsburgh because my grandfather's brothers had come before him and settled in Pittsburgh. Their name was Walensky in Russia. By the way, my mother's name was Wiener in Russia. They came here, and my grandfather's brothers who came before him, my grandfather was the last one to come, changed their name to either Wald or Walk. So I have no relatives by the name of Miller. When my grandfather came over, he was, quote, the greenhorn in the family, and one of the brothers' wives didn't want to have that greenhorn with the same name, and my grandfather's profession in Europe was the miller of wheat in the village, so they gave him the name Miller. So that's how I got the name Miller there. As I said before, I'm related to everybody on my family on both sides. I don't know if you have that recorded or not. But my grandmother on my mother's side, her sister, married the brother of my grandfather on my father's side. So I'm related to everybody on both sides of my family by marriage. When they came over, my grandfather was a peddler, and my father became a peddler too. He had gone to school in the yeshiva in Russia, and so he was finished with his schooling. They were peddlers, and then my father opened up a secondhand store on the south side in Pittsburgh. Then it gradually became a furniture store. And her husband became a partner with my father in the store. His name was Simon Solo. I'm related to a lot of the Solos too, through my aunt, who was married to Simon Solo. They had this furniture store. We lived upstairs of the furniture store at the corner of 20th and Carson. So when I was born, I lived on the south side of Pittsburgh. My grandfather, they had a little shul there. I guess it was an Orthodox or conservative shul. It was a very small shul because there weren't that many on the south, Jewish people on the south side. And my grandfather would go to shul every day and argue Talmud. That was his occupation, and my father supported them. My grandmother, my grandfather, both of whom lived to be in their early 80s. Both my grandmother and my grandfather on my father's side. My grandmother on my mother's side lived to be about 81. And she came for my wedding here in Pittsburgh and took sick and stayed in Pittsburgh after that. Before that, she lived in New York. And she stayed here, and so she is buried here in Pittsburgh. We lived on the south side until I was 12 years old, at which time my father wanted to expand the store, take the upper floors for the store, and also they wanted to meet. I had been taking private Hebrew lessons. I had a Hebrew teacher who came twice a week to give me private Hebrew lessons, and I went to Sunday school at the local shul there. And then we moved to Squirrel Hill because I was 12 years old and I was starting to go to parties, and they wanted me to be in a more Jewish atmosphere. So we moved to Squirrel Hill. We lived on Melvin Street. And my aunt and uncle also lived in Melvin Street, the Blitzes. Sydney and Esther Blitz lived on Melvin Street, and my two cousins. They had two daughters. And my father enlarged the store. I have a younger brother named Morton Miller. And I went to Hebrew school and Sunday school at Beth Shoal. Although I was not bat mitzvah, because I was 12 years old and I was in a new neighborhood, a new school, and I was trying to make friends. And everybody was going to the drugstore for sodas and stuff after school, and I had to go to Hebrew school. So one day I came home and I sat down on the steps and I said, I am not going to Hebrew school anymore. And that was the end of that. I didn't go. That's the only time I really defied. No, twice I defied my parents. That was the only time I defied my parents. They were very disappointed. Mr. Lehman, who was then the head of the Hebrew school at Beth Sholem, was very upset because he wanted me to be bat mitzvahed. And he said, I was a good student and all that jazz. But anyway, I never was. But I can still read Hebrew, but not fast enough to follow when they're doing it on the holidays or anything. I read slowly, and I need the vowels underneath. And when I go to Israel, I'm completely lost because the vowels aren't underneath the Hebrew. I went to Alderdice. I graduated in June of 46. I started Colfax School. My sixth grade at Colfax School. And then I went to Alderdice in June of 40. I graduated there in June of 46. We moved from Melvin Street right after the Second World War, and we moved to Beechwood Boulevard between Monitor and Ebdy Street on Beechwood Boulevard. On Melvin Street, we rented. On Beechwood Boulevard, my father bought the house. And I spent the rest of my childhood and early adulthood there.
Maybe you'd like to talk a little bit about what your adolescence and those, what was like, the kind of things that you did, what the family's life was, what they did socially.
Well, we did a lot of things with the family. The family was very, very close. My aunt and uncle also, my father's sister and her husband, who was in the business with my father, they moved to Squirrel Hill too and lived on Beacon Street, and they moved my grandmother and grandfather with them, and they lived in like a duplex. And my grandmother and grandfather lived with them on Beacon Street. And every Sunday we went to visit my grandmother and grandfather. We lived on Melvin Street, they lived on Beacon Street, was where we used to go over there. And it was very close. I was very close with my grandparents. I knew them very well, even though they were quite elderly. But I knew that we all went together. We used to go to swimming at a place called Barley Crest, which no longer exists. But that was a big thing. The whole family went to Barley Crest, and we took picnics with us, and we stayed there for the whole day. And sometimes the older cousins would take the younger ones home, and the parents would stay because they had dancing in the evening. We did everything as a family. I mean, the Pesach, we would all be together at my aunt and uncle and my grandparents, who lived with my aunt and uncle. And they'd have this big long table, and all the kids were down at one end. And naturally, we would start acting up a little bit. And my grandfather, who was about as big as a minute, used to pound on the table, "Zolzain Shah!" And we would shut up right away. So I really came from a very close-knit family, and I did things, we did a lot of things with the family. My mother was very active in what was then Pioneer Women, and I remember her having meetings at the house a lot, and she was very active in that. When we lived on the South Side, she was also the representative of our shul to the I think the conservative congregation group here in the city or something like that. She was active in that. She also helped my father in the store. She also worked with my father in the store. So I would say I would had a very middle class upbringing, and we were expected to do well in school, which we did, and I took piano lessons, which I was not very good at. Took dancing lessons, which I adored and I was good at. I took drama lessons, which I absolutely adored, and I still take a class every once in a while in drama. I love the theater. I always wanted to be an actress, not a movie star. I wanted to be an actress. I mean, I was going to make Helen Hayes look like an amateur. Of course, I never did it. But this was my dream of being that. I went to high school at Alderdice, and I did the usual things. I joined a sorority and learned how to smoke at sorority meetings. I went to camp. I went to a Jewish camp right outside of Pittsburgh in Evans City, Pennsylvania. It was called Camp Kadima. And it was run by people in the name of Osheroff, I think it was. And I loved it there. We had Saturday morning services. We had Friday night services. And I loved camp. But it was close enough that my parents came every weekend to see me. So I was really not off on my own. And my brother went there, too. But we used to go to Atlantic City in the summertime a lot when I was little. And even when I was a young teenager, we'd go to Atlantic City. We started going to Atlantic City because my brother had whooping cough. He wouldn't take the shots, and he got whooping cough. And the doctor said, let's take him to the seashore. So we went to Atlantic City for the summer and stayed at Shapiro's Hotel, which is a little hotel about half a block off the boardwalk, and we would go to the beach every day. And a lot of my mother's friends were there too. My aunt and uncle, my aunt came. My father came down every weekend. My uncle came down every weekend. And so that was, you know, the kind of thing we did. I think it was a pretty normal childhood for that time of life. I graduated Alderdice. I doubled up. I was supposed to graduate in February of 97. At 47, I graduated in June of 46 because I doubled up in English and History and I had all my credits. And I graduated with high honor. And I spoke on graduation. And my mother was so nervous, she sat there and twisted a button on her suit until she twisted it off. I met my husband when I was 16 years old. I met him at a wedding. My girlfriend's sister was getting married, and about four of my girlfriends were invited to the wedding. It was at Webster Hall, and at that time, the ballroom at Webster Hall opened up onto the lobby. And during the reception, they had the doors open, and the music was playing, and we were bored silly because we had nobody to dance with. And I was 16 at the time. And in comes walking two naval officers and another man. And it just so happened that one of the naval officers had been a counselor at the camp at Kadima when I was there. And my girlfriends were all saying, go on over and talk to him. We have to understand, I was an extremely shy person. Extremely, I mean, I was painfully shy. I think that's why I like drama so much, is because I was not me, I was somebody else when I was doing this. And I said, oh, I can't do that. I can't go over and talk to him because he won't know me. Well, he did recognize me, and he came over and talked to me, and he introduced me to the other naval officer who happened to be Don Robinson. And the other guy was Don's older brother, who was not in the service because he was not physically able to be in the service. And Don had just gotten his ensign stripes, and he was on leave. He had just, you know, and also this Dave Zimmering had just gotten his Jensen, Strife, they were only, and they happened to be in the lobby of the hotel, and they didn't know this was a wedding, and they just sort of wandered in. Well, anyway, Don asked me to drive, to dance. He asked me to dance, then he asked to drive me home, and I didn't know him, so I made him drive one of my girlfriends home, too. And it turned out he lived five doors away from me, and his younger brother and my younger brother were friends. And then he started writing to me, and I wrote to him, and by this time the war was over. And it was about 45, yeah, it was 45, it was over, the war was over. And but he was on a troop transport, and he went back and forth to Europe bringing the troops back. He was a supply officer. And the Navy, when he graduated high school in 43, he knew he had to go in the service, so he applied for the Navy B-12. And he was accepted. And he was very fortunate they sent him to college. So he went to the University of South Carolina, and he went to the Naval Supply School, they had taken over the Harvard Business School. So he wound up going to the Harvard Business School, which he was very lucky. He said he really gives the Navy a lot of credit for all the things they taught him. And we started going together. We wrote to each other, we went together, and he happened to be on leave during my senior prom. And I took him to the senior prom. I was a big wheel. I came walking in with a naval officer. Meanwhile, I had applied to Carnegie Mellon for the drama school. And I had been taking drama all this time, and I had been taking modern dance. In fact, my modern dance teacher, when I was about 14 years old or so, said, she says, I've taken you about as far as I can. She said, I would like you to go to Bennington with me for the summer to do modern dance. And my parents wouldn't let me go. They said I was too young, and they didn't know her that well, and so they wouldn't let me go, and I didn't go. And I was a very obedient daughter most of the time. So I didn't go. But I continued with my drama classes. And I tried out for Carnegie Mellon Drama School. I passed the entrance exam. But for the drama school, you have to do monologues. And you have to do a comedy monologue and a serious monologue. And I suffered with migraine headaches. And the night before, I didn't sleep at all. I was such a nervous wreck. And I was like 16 years old at the time. And I had a blinding migraine the next day. And I went there, and I sat all day long, dying from this migraine, and I was not called until about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, at which point I had fallen asleep. And the girl next to me nudged me, and the professor said, if you're not interested enough to stay awake, Miss Miller. Anyway, I did my monologues, and then they dismissed everybody who they were sure yes or no. But the ones they were not sure of, they kept, and they divided us into groups, and we went off with a teacher, and we were assigned parts in a scene for a play, and I was a twittery old lady in this scene, and all I wanted to do was throw up. I felt so sick, and I couldn't twitter for the life of me, so I finally got a letter from him saying that I could attend Carnegie Mellon, because I passed the entrance exam, but they did not think I was talented enough for the drama school, which at 16 was a terrible blow. I mean, it really hurt me. So I enrolled at Pitt, and I applied to Northwestern Drama School for the following year, and I was involved with the Pitt Players while I was at Pitt. And I went to Pitt for a year, and then I got notice from Northwestern saying that they accepted me for the drama school. But by this time, Don and I were engaged, and I decided that I didn't want to go to I didn't want to leave and go to Northwestern, so I didn't go. And Don and I were engaged, and we got married when I was 17. I was 18. I was 18 years old in the fall of 47. And my parents were very upset because they did not want me to get married that young. That was the second time that I defied my parents. They didn't want me to get married that young. And but I did. And we've been married 48 years. We've been married 49 years in November. But it turned out that that was the best decision I ever made. Because when we started, you know, we started out with nothing, either one of us. My father was in the furniture business. They furnished an apartment for us. We got an apartment in the Ruth Gardens, because that was still a rent-controlled building, and we were very lucky to get an apartment there. It just so happened my Morris Kalig owned the building, and my parents were very good friends with the Kaligs. So an apartment became available, and we got an apartment there. And my husband went to work with his father, who had a small tobacco and candy business on the in Penn Avenue. You probably have all this because I think you did my husband a year or two ago. Well, we don't have it. Somebody did it. Somebody did my husband a year or two. Anyway, he started, instead of waiting for customers to come in like his father did, he and his brother started going out and servicing, you know, customers, taking orders and things like that. And the business started growing, and then he got the idea of putting health and beauty aid departments in supermarkets. And so anyway, that turned out to be very successful. And he went from there, and then when the supermarkets started taking over their own health and beauty aid departments, he opened up White Cross stores, which turned out to be very successful. And I have wound up living a life that I never thought I would live. And I mean, I picture myself living the same kind of life my parents live, but I obviously lived a very different life. And I've had some marvelous, marvelous experiences because of the things that Don and I have both been involved in. The things he's been involved in, the things I've been involved in, and the things we've jointly been involved in.
Well, maybe you want to talk a little bit about, you know, your life, both maybe, you know, in terms of how things changed for you and the things that you have done.
Well, in 1959, we went on our first mission to Israel. And it was a national mission. And at that time, it was, the national mission consisted of about 40 people. It was a small group. And we were the youngest people there. My husband was 59. I was 30. I was 30 years old, which is pretty young. And we had little kids, but we left our kids home. And we had been, this is a story that really got to me. We took a month trip through Europe, which I never expected to do in my life. And here we were. We started in London. Don had ordered a Jaguar car, which we picked up in London, and we had a driver, and we toured around a week around England. Then we flew the car over to France. And then we drove through France, and we hired a driver, guide in Paris, and we went all around the countryside in Paris and saw all that. And then we drove ourselves to Geneva, and we stayed overnight in Brie, and then overnight in Dijon. Then we couldn't take the pass, it was October, so we couldn't take the pass through because it had already snowed, so we had to go to Brie, put the car on a train. And then we drove down to Italy, and we in we were in Rome, and we hired a guide in Rome, a driver guide in Rome, and then we shipped the car home from Rome, and we went to Vienna to meet the JDC mission, the UJA mission. And we got to Vienna, and the Jews were coming out of Poland at that time. We did not go to the train station because they didn't want to draw attention to these people. So we waited at the hostel where they came. We stood at the doorway when they came in. And we greeted them and, you know, shalom and all that. And this little old lady grabs my hand and starts kissing. And in Yiddish, I speak a little Yiddish. In Yiddish, starts thanking me for all the things I've done for them. And I just broke up completely. And I thought, you know, what have I done? I've been traipsing around Europe for a month having a ball, you know, and it just got to me. I mean, I just broke down completely. By the time we finished talking with